Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world. Hey guys, welcome back to Unpacking Design. Today's topic is going to be identity, and Mike, you're going to be leading this one. So what is identity and why did you choose this topic?
Sure. So identity, according to Google, which, you know, we love talking about Google definitions, Google says that identity is the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. And, you know, I think this is an important topic because I myself identify as a designer, and I don't know if you do, Tim, but we're on an Unpacking Design show, so you probably consider yourself a designer too. But I wanted to talk about this because I think that someone who sees themselves as a designer thinks about the world in a very different way than somebody who doesn't necessarily think of themselves as a creative or a designer. It's a very specific way to live, and I kind of want to just talk about what that life is like and sort of how the identity of being a designer informs the choices you make, and also how once you make those choices, how they kind of reinforce the fact that you are a designer or not a designer.
Right.
So do you consider yourself a designer?
Yeah, I would say I consider myself as a designer.
And what does that mean to you? Like when you say you're a designer, what does that mean to you specifically?
For me, I think it means that I have a creative outlook on everything in the world. So when I look at something, you know, walking down the street, what I see and the way that I interpret it might be different than how a finance person interprets that same thing.
Sure.
And so for me, being a designer entails always having some kind of creative outlook on life, you know, whether it's as an architect looking at a plot of land and thinking of a building that could potentially work there, or, you know, getting into leatherworking now, what kind of product I can come up with,
yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of excitement that comes from that. So
yeah, I don't think we're saying, just to clarify, we're not saying that the financial person that you talk about like doesn't have creativity or can't
right.
have creativity, but it's a very different mindset to kind of push yourself into that creativity versus just let it kind of exist in the world.
Right.
And engaging with it in a way that makes you more design oriented than
right.
other people. What do you think, you know, do you look at specific designers, other designers, when you're creating your own designs, or is it more of an internal process that you think makes you a designer? Like, is it referencing everything that you see and kind of pulling from the creative, I guess, juices in the world? Or is it, do you feel like you are sort of building in your own creativity as you kind of live your life, like from your own self?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think for me, whenever I look at any other creative person's work, what I tend to do is I latch on to the things that interest me about their work. And
yep.
those particular things are what I focus on. And as I study other artists, other architects, and other designers, I eventually see the things that I would like to apply in my own work. And from that, I get to study the way that they did something and eventually apply it to a product that I'm currently working on or something that I'd like to work on in the future. And I think the process of analyzing other people's work eventually helps me get to a point where I can identify my signature and my style.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps me build that. And it's important to look at other designers, because when you're developing a project or you're developing any sort of creative work, you don't know what your style is from the very start.
Right.
Right. And I think to me that's what identity is. It's to eventually find what your style is, to find what your passion is for the area of design that you work in.
Yeah.
So
do you feel like the when I think of style, especially when it comes to architecture, for example, there are a couple of big names that people might know, especially if they're listening to this, like a Frank Gehry or a Frank Lloyd Wright. You know, they have very, maybe the different way to say it is they have very specific aesthetics to the work that they do. Mm-hmm. They have a very stylized way of manifesting their work. Like a lot of their work looks samey in some way.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's part of creating the signature? I mean, I think, you know, part of the thing that I see in a signature isn't necessarily that the work all has to look the same, like it necessarily came from the same person, but we've talked a lot about process too. And do you feel like those are necessarily that they have to be the connected in order to create a signature, like the process and the style have to be one in order to create the signature, or are they sort of separate things? Or
I think they go hand in hand. You need to have a process that eventually creates something, right? Well, right. Whether the style of your design or your architecture ends up looking the same from building to building or from graphic design to graphic design, it's ultimately driven by the process that you came up with.
Right.
So when you look at an architect like Renzo Piano and the way that he designs his details, all of his buildings are so phenomenally well detailed.
Right.
And then when you look at a person like Massimo Vignelli, who's a graphic designer, and you look at the way that he designs his graphic designs and develops brands for companies, you can start to see how he takes fonts and all of these different areas of his process to eventually come up with that one font that's going to work.
Sure.
And that's, to me, I think it takes a lot of practice, right? You have to constantly do something over and over again. And in the beginning of your career, which is where you and I are, I don't think you jump in knowing your identity and you don't jump in knowing what your style is going to be. And in all honesty, I don't even think that the great architects and the great graphic designers know that that's their identity as a designer. I think it's just what they do.
Sure.
You know, and the reason why I say that is that I don't want people going out and thinking, oh, I have to find my identity.
Right.
I have to, you know, it's more, you find it through practice. You find it by doing that thing and to go through the motions and to practice it.
Right.
So.
Well, I even think about like the evolution of product design when we were just talking a lot about Macs and Apple products,
yeah,
and things like that. And, you know, you think about all of the iterations that have happened over the lifetime of that that company in terms of like when they started with the original computers,
yeah,
and now we're talking about these iPads that are like 13 inches in diameter and,
yeah,
like are in have these like huge aspect ratios, and it's a tablet you can like take with you everywhere, but that's not originally how the look of the Apple was, but now it's become this very slick, very when you see an Apple product, you know that it's an Apple product.
Right.
When you look at even like a comparison, a Dell product, you can pretty much tell that it's a Dell product.
Right.
And I think that level of sort of identity in whether it's branding or the way that things manifest themselves in design is important to kind of not just recognize, but to take as precedence. Like if you look at the history of one of these products or these product lines, you can see how they just kept making iterations, and they just, like you said, you don't start knowing that you're going to have the iPad that's like 13 inches, you know,
right,
diagonally. You start with whatever the first thing is, and you keep iterating and you keep iterating and you keep iterating. Some of those iterations are better than others. Some of them don't work at all.
Yeah.
And I think at some point you develop this sort of language for yourself as a designer or as a creative person that becomes your own. And sometimes it becomes, you know, going back to Frank Gehry as an example, I think when a lot of people approach his firm, they probably say, hey, I want a Frank Gehry building.
Right.
You know, I want this thing to look really curvilinear and swervy and have metal paneling. And
right,
like, I want it to be spectacular looking, and I want the money shot photo when it's all done, and I want to stand in front of my building and I want to be like, yeah, I got a Frank Gehry building. But he, when he's looking at his designs, he still is, you know, picking up a pencil or a pen, sketching, you know, his little doodles that he knows what they kind of mean, but, you know, they're very abstract. And he's developed this process with his own work over such a long period of time that that's the current form. But if you look at, like, his earlier works or his house, like, his early stuff doesn't look like his stuff now. It just has become that over time. And I think, you know, one of the things to just sort of remember as a designer is, like, you don't know what you don't know yet, and those things will over time inform you, get from A to Z or wherever you're supposed to go. But if you don't keep trying these things, then there's no way you're ever going to find the signature, and you might just end up, I don't know, doing the same things over and over again.
Right.
Like, I think part of finding your signature is extending yourself or overextending yourself every now and then, and, like, putting pressure on yourself to find the creativity in a solution that isn't necessarily the same solution that you had the last time.
Right.
Because a new solution might be better for that given situation. Mm-hmm. Just because you've used I'm thinking about recent projects I've worked on architecturally. Like, if you have a canopy over a door, and it's a very specific design, you know, you might decide that, well, next time the solution for that is, you know, first time it was steel, now it has to be wood. Or it's a different configuration of how that canopy happens. You know, each of these elements can start to, I don't know, give you sort of your own identity over time, depending on how you play with them. You know, I don't think that it's necessarily like, you might not find a holistic design right away, but through the experimentation even of those details and those little things too, I think is important.
Right, and I think something that you mentioned towards the end there is the fact that when you are designing something, you typically carry over elements of the previous project.
Sure.
Or the previous design.
Right.
And that's why when you look at any kind of design firm, whether it's graphic design, product design, or architectural design, whatever field it is, typically those firms will work on a specific type of project. So yep. It might be healthcare for an architect, or it might be logo design for a graphic designer. And eventually, the identity of that firm is relative to that area of their field. At the same time, there are other designers who focus on experiences and yep. things that are more broad, and then that allows them to extend to various other parts of their field, you know,
right.
So that they're not just focusing on healthcare. They might focus on residential design too.
Right.
And so one of the things that I think is important for developing identity in any field that you're in is to have confidence in what you do. And to
Absolutely.
Develop that confidence, you need to practice. You need to
yep.
do something enough where you're confident enough to say to a client, I'm doing this for this reason. So
yep.
what do you think about that? What do you think about having confidence and the importance of that?
No, I think absolutely you need confidence. I think that is one of the key factors here in creating a signature. Without the confidence to stand behind some of the design decisions that you're making, you can't. It's not about influencing someone to believe what you're thinking. It's to convey the ideas in a rational, professional way that is easy for someone who is essentially a non-creative potentially. Not to say that people aren't all creative, just that they don't. I think part of the problem with being a designer is that there's sort of an understanding of a language, you know, an understanding of a way of being creative mm-hmm. that other people don't necessarily have a good handle on. Or like I was reading a study the other day that said architects, and this relates mostly to architects, but could also be applied to design, architects perceive space in a different way than most other people. Like, it's been studied mm-hmm. to the point where architects can understand the way that a room exists because of the way that the walls are creating that space mm-hmm. around it. And I think it also that applies to design. Like, not everyone sits at their computer or their desk or uses whatever tools they have to create things. People sometimes are just on the other end of the table, and it's about you conveying something with confidence so that they understand that not only do you understand what you're talking about, mm-hmm. which I think is important, that they have confidence back in you, but also that you have confidence so that you can, I guess the best way to describe it is just, if you don't have confidence in your own work, no one else will have confidence in your own work.
Right.
And then you won't be able to get to try those things over time, because why would they give you a second or a third or a fourth chance potentially to try something if they're not confident in, if you're not confident in yourself and they're not confident in your work,
right?
Why would you be able to get that next at bat or the next chance to work on stuff? So I think having confidence in everything you do, it just sort of like lets your design and your creativity flow, and mm-hmm. like it emanates from you in a very palpable way. I think when you're in a meeting and you're trying to convey something with passion and with sort of an energy behind that, people grab onto that, and people sort of gravitate around other people who are confident.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it's not about being shy or outgoing. I know a lot of people who are really outgoing but are not very confident in what they've done, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. They're really shy, but they're, you know, they do genius level work. And it's about having confidence behind the things that you're doing. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, but you believe in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that starts to build into the signature of whatever you want your identity to be.
Right.
You know, you don't want your identity at the end of the day to be that guy or that girl who is, you know, sitting in a corner and is just sort of like, all right, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You know, I think as a designer and as a creative, a lot of us have this need to, you know, make the world a better place and to shape it in a way that is very personal to us, mm-hmm. so that we're leaving our mark on the world after we've gone.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I think that part of that is finding your voice and your signature over time. And that's mm-hmm. what identity kind of means to me, is like, you have to put in some sort of effort in order to get something back out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're thinking about your career choices so far, Tim, and like what you've done with your career and things like that, would you say that the choices that you've made have been building on that sort of signature so far? Like, are you building your career actively knowing that in the back of your head you're trying to build an identity for yourself? Or do you feel like it comes naturally over time because of just the fact that you are working and just sort of putting yourself out there?
Yeah, I think it's actually the earlier part of what you said, where I feel like when I started in the profession of architecture and, you know, working at a firm, for me, it was all about finding my identity. And yeah. to do that, I feel like I have to actively do it. I can't just passively do it by saying, oh, I'm at an architecture firm. I'm eventually going to know who I am as a designer. I'm eventually going to know my style, my signature. In reality, I think when you work at any kind of design firm, you're always put in this position where you're given responsibilities, and sometimes it's not something that relates to your passion for the field.
Right.
You might end up being a drafter for, you know, 30 years unless you said something.
Right.
Or you might end up being the person just making the logos for 30 years, or the templates that you yeah. guys use. And, you know, to me, that's not helping anyone develop a signature, but it's helping, or their identity, but it's helping them develop the beginning of their future as an owner in a company or whatever, because it's helping you understand what it takes to get somewhere. So in terms of what I'm doing now with having Journey of an Architect as my blog and my 30 by 30 goal to design 30 projects by the time I turn 30, the whole reason behind that was to find my style of design. You know, if you could, the whole premise was, if you could design any building in any part of the world, wherever it is, and you can come up with the program for it, and you had this magical client with unlimited amount of money, right?
Yeah.
What would you design?
Right.
And to me, some of the designs I've come up with has helped me realize that I actually don't know too much about luxury design or whatever it might be. So I had to research that because I had an interest in it. And my interest is what pushed me to learn so much about these different typologies.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm starting to realize that I enjoy designing architecture that is based on some kind of cause or is based on some larger idea. Yeah. It's not about the way it looks. It's not about any of that. That all comes once the idea is there. And so my signature, I don't think, will be a style kind of signature. I think it'll be one that is more experiential. It's something that is based on fulfilling a belief or an idea of a client and helping them realize it in a built work. So the same question for you, though, Mike. In terms of your career so far, do you feel like you've been developing your identity by working at the firm you're at, or is it a mixture of things? Are you actively doing it, or is it a more passive take?
I would say that for me, my career choices have been very active in terms of sculpting, I guess, what I want my career to be. I have intentionally done similar things to what you're doing, Tim, where, and you know this about me, where I've entered a lot of competitions before. And each time I enter something or I take on a new project, I'm always trying to do at least one new thing. And it's either a new software program, a new type of design entirely, whether it's a skyscraper, a house, or whatever, or furniture. I've done furniture designs too. Mm-hmm. And just trying to really push what it is that I can do. And, you know, I think you said it really nicely before, where it's just you have to build some of those skills into your career before you can even make some of these signature choices. Like, mm-hmm. some of these experiments and these competition entries have just been, I didn't know how to do something, and I needed to learn how to do that in an environment where, you know, if in the day-to-day projects that we have, I don't always get to do certain things that I want to expand my skill set on. So these are ways to sort of build on that and experiment with what my signature is. There have been a couple times so far in the time since I left school where I thought my signature was one thing, and it really is completely like not that mm-hmm. at all. And I think the only way that I found that was that, and it's not something I can even necessarily describe in a very like Frank Gehry-esque way where I have, you know, sculpture type, mm-hmm. you know, forms, sculptural type forms to the way that my projects look, or it's not an aesthetic yet, but I think that that's because, as you mentioned, you know, we're still sort of in the early mid portions of our careers, and I'm trying to kind of like still work out what that aesthetic might be, and it might not even be recognizable of an aesthetic as that is, but I'm coming more from the process and building skills to create the identity that I have overall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might be able to, who knows, 30 years from now, you might be able to look back on all the things that I've done and say, yeah, Mike LaValle did those. Or you might be like, mm-hmm. I can't tell if Mike did those or he didn't do those or right. whatever. And I think at the end of the day, as a designer, I see that as sort of like the stepping stones to get me to wherever I am, like literally right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my style today and sort of my identity today is much different than it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way that I would have even gotten to here is because of all those stepping stones and little projects and the little little thing. So I take it on very much like that. And I've recognized over time that by pushing myself into a place that feels uncomfortable with a design, something I have never done before, that's the place where I am able to expand on what that identity is more than if I was just to do the just the 9-to-5 sort of everyday work week over and over again. I still learn a whole bunch from that. I think that having a job in a in the field that you want to be in, design-wise and creatively, is absolutely worth it. I think, though, that if you want to really expand on what your signature could be, one of the things that I found very helpful for me is to look for whatever it is that I am searching for, but potentially outside that with competitions or things that are completely in my control, to almost use as like an open canvas to paint on. So that's kinda, you know.
So and if you were to give a series of points for people to find their identity, if there was any process for finding your identity, what would you say that is?
I think trying a lot of stuff, it's almost like going to, it's like when you stand in front of an ice cream parlor and you see all the ice cream like next to you, and there's all these flavors and there's all these different kinds of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know that you could have literally any one of those like 20 or 30 flavors, but you can only pick one, or usually you can only pick one. I think it's a matter, it's a matter of trying all of them if you can, or at least not being... not closing yourself off to those options, and allowing yourself to try as many things as you can. And then as you try them, recognize what you like or don't like about them. Like as an example, I didn't know that I liked designing furniture, but I entered a design competition, and I don't design furniture regularly, but there's something about the detailing and the way that the furniture comes together and is fabricated that is really interesting to me, and I would like to get into more of. And I've recognized that about myself because I tried it once, you know. And as an architect and as a designer, I didn't necessarily know that I even liked that. I just was like, here's an opportunity, and I'm not going to close myself off to it. I'm going to at least try it. So I think that would be one thing. Try things and recognize, I guess the second part would be recognize when you don't like something or when you do, and kind of lean into what you do like. I think the other thing would be, if you know that something just really isn't working for you, whether it's a job or whether it's a something in your life just isn't working, you need to readjust and not just let it keep happening over and over and over again, and let it either deflate you or, you know, I guess the best way to think about it is don't waste your time. You know, you only have so much time in your life in general. Like, you should be doing stuff that is making you happy and doing stuff that is fulfilling you creatively. I think if you can do sort of those three things, try stuff, understand when you do or don't like stuff. And then the third one is if you find out that you really don't like what you're doing, sort of adjust. You're more likely to find your... sort of creative center or your signature over time, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, I'm going to say the same thing probably that you said, just phrased differently. So for me, the first step is finding something that you're fascinated by. I think you have to be fascinated by it. You can't pursue anything that you are, that you're constantly bored doing.
Right.
So once you find your fascination, then practice it. Do what you need to do in order to keep developing that same design or whatever, and eventually that'll become your signature. But in order to do that, you need to practice so that you can start to develop confidence and, most importantly, remove doubt. You have to stop doubting yourself as a designer. And to do that, you need to have the confidence to know that what you're saying and what you're designing will be something that will work. So that would be mine. I think it's very similar to what you said. It's, you know, I like the metaphor about the ice cream, though. That was a really good one.
Thanks.
So.
All right. Well, I think that's identity.
Yep. Identity in a nutshell.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.